even as we are having our service right now, the second presidential debate is going on. It is very instructive to compare as well as contrast the campaign going on in our country for the presidency and that of the United States, where the primaries are also being held for their presidential campaign. There are many similarities. Strong personalities are involved. Demagoguery is present on both sides. There are personal attacks and everything that you see in a presidential campaign. But there is an important difference. Party lines are drawn clearly in the United States between the Republicans and Democrats. Their parties are defined by ideology. Ang mga partido sa Amerika ay may pinangahawakan na ideolohiya. The Philippines never had parties defined by ideology, perhaps with the exception of the Communist Party of the Philippines, but that is an ideology we cannot, as Christians, sympathize with. Rather, the parties are built around personalities, subjective issues, and that is the reason why we have the kind of mess we have in our politics. There is no clearly defined lines of convictions. Now, the church is defined by clear convictions, not personalities. In other words, what defines us should be the truth. Ang iglesia ay may katotohanan na pinangahawakan. Hindi tayo iglesia nang dahil sa personalidad. Hindi tayo iglesia dahil may sinusundan tayo na mga tao. Tayo ay iglesia bilang sumusunod sa katotohanan na pinangahawakan natin. And that is what the church, how the church should be defined by. Now this is what the three friends of Daniel in Babylon had to define under the most scary challenge. So we go back to the time when the southern kingdom of Judah was in exile to the superpower of that day, Babylonia. We come to the period of the most powerful king of Babylon in history, Nebuchadnezzar. And the book of Daniel will record the story surrounding the young man Daniel, but a side role is given to these three friends. And the intent of the book is to show that Yahweh remains the most high despite the exile of his people to the pagan powers. In fact, the title Most High occurs in Daniel more times than in any other book of the Bible combined. So that's how important this message is. Yahweh remains the Most High, though apparently the gods of Babylon are in power. Another peculiarity of Daniel, I pointed out, is that several portions are in Aramaic, which is already an international language rather than Hebrew. And our chapter 3, which is our focus of study, is in that portion written in Aramaic. And it is probably to highlight the international setting of this event. A more international language is here used. And we are using the story that concerns the three friends of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. But we all know them by their Babylonian names as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar has built a very enormous golden statue for himself. And that fact alone tells you something of the character of this king. He is an egomaniac, a man who focuses on himself with such obsession. And Nebuchadnezzar intends his image to be a test of loyalty of all his subjects by making it an object of worship, and he commanded everyone that at the sound of music they must render submission and be on the posture of worship on that image. Now, because everyone, perhaps out of true submission, but more likely out of fear, render that worship, anyone who did not will stand out. And that's what happened to the three. Everybody, like a sea of humanity, bowed down, prostrated themselves before the image, and so the three stood out. They did not. So we are here in this encounter between a raging king who is an egomaniac and these three who would refuse to render the worship he wanted. One thing that we learned in our story is that human pride and the disciples' faith are always in confrontation. Though we are now in very different circumstances, it is no longer a huge image, no longer a fiery furnace, but the same principle. We are challenged to be different about our faith. Then an even more frightening challenge confronts them. Nebuchadnezzar felt insulted. Eh, siya ay hari, pinakamakapangyarihang tao, simpleng utos ang ibinigay niya. Sino itong tatlong Hudyo na ito na tatanggi sa kanyang inutos? At kanyang binalaan sila na kapag sa ikalawang pagkakataon hindi nila gawin, ay ilalagay sila sa nagngangalit na apoy ng hurno. And this is where the challenge really confronts the three friends. And what led them to stand by their faith is the compulsion of faithfulness in the face of fear. And the same thing is our challenge today. We easily yield to fear, but what will overcome fear is when there is the compulsion of faithfulness. Let us conclude this brief series. I ask you to turn once again to Daniel chapter 3. The text really is verses 19 to 30, but to abridge this, I bank on your familiarity with the story. I begin with verse 26. Daniel 3, verses 26 to 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads were not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses and laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And allow me just one text in the New Testament as a corroboration of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. "For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth." I suggested last week that Nebuchadnezzar relented from immediate execution, because if you read in chapter 13 verse 6, the threat was anyone who would not worship will immediately, that's the word used, immediately be cast into the fiery furnace. And when he was told that it was Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego who refused to worship, he gave them a second chance. And that tells me that somehow the heart of the king had fondness for these three, because if you read in chapter 2, together with Daniel, they managed to interpret the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he granted them favor. So itong tatlong magkakaibigan na to ay may pabor ng hari, eh siguro ayaw niyang agad na parusahan sila, meron siyang damdamin para sa kanila, kaya binigyan pa sila ng ikalawang pagkakataon. But whatever fondness he may have had, at this point was replaced by burning rage, and he must destroy them. And in fact, when they refused a second time, he commanded his servants to heat up further the fiery furnace seven times. So hot it became that when the friends were cast into the fiery furnace, The servants who cast them were the ones who first died because of the heat. So talagang napakainit nito at ganun na lamang ang siguro iniisip niyang papakita ko sa mga Hudyong ito kung anong kamangmangan ang kanilang pinapairal na hindi sumunod sa makapangyarihang hari. Instead, what happened is the result is one of vindication for the three friends. What a challenging lesson for us today. My message is this: faith that stands by and fights for God's truth will be vindicated. Ang pananampalataya na maninindigan at ipaglalaban ang katotohanan ng Diyos ay pananagumpayin. Faith that stands by and fights for God's truth will be vindicated. Now that vindication will not come in exactly the same form as deliverance from the fiery furnace. I don't think any one of us will face anything similar as a threat of fiery furnace. And there is also no promise that it will necessarily come during the lifetime of God's servant. Remember last week, we saw the provision or qualification made by the three friends. If God will not, so they made provision for the possibility that God may not deliver them from the fiery furnace. But they said, even if God will not, we will not bow down before the image. So there is no promise that the deliverance or the vindication will come in our lifetime. But whether in our lifetime or the next, the sure thing is that the servant who exercises faith in God's truth will be vindicated. And how does that vindication come? In two ways. First, exposing human falsehood. Ibinubunyag ang kamalian ng tao. Exposing human falsehood. And secondly, exalting divine kingdom. Itinataas, itinatanyag ang kaharian ng Diyos. Exalting divine kingdom. So how was God's, or how was the faith of the three friends vindicated? Well, first of all, exposing human falsehood. For Nebuchadnezzar, at issue is the power and superiority of his Babylonian gods over the Yahweh God of Israel. Now, I told you at the beginning of this series that the very name Nebuchadnezzar reflects one of the gods of Babylonia, Nebo, the god of knowledge for the Babylonians. Not only that, archaeologists have found inscriptions on many rocks of this period of Nebuchadnezzar being given the title of favorite of Marduk. And Marduk is again one of the gods of Babylon. So in other words, Nebuchadnezzar impresses us as a personality who was very much devoted to his gods, and perhaps he himself thought that he is some kind of an incarnation of these gods. So he wanted to show to his friends, whoever is your Yahweh, he is nothing compared to what I can do. And for the friends, that issue is, Yahweh is the Most High. And Nebuchadnezzar thinks that the fiery furnace will end the debate. But what it shows is that falsehood, even at its most powerful and popular, will yield to the truth. Ang kamalian, kahit sa kanyang pinakamakapangyarihan at pinakapopular, ay bibigay sa katotohanan. Well, certainly, the proposition of Nebuchadnezzar concerning his gods is backed up by his own power as king. He is the superpower king of the world's largest empire. He is a top military genius. And we will see the same thing today. There are times when idolatry and falsehood have the most powerful backing. Popularity, acceptance in society, religion. Apostle Paul, giving prophetic pronouncement of the coming of the Antichrist on the last day or before the coming of Christ, but also making it clear that he is now operative actively, and the character of the Antichrist As falsehood, he said in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. Ang gawain ng Antikristo sa kanyang pangangaral o pangangalat ng kamalian ay nasa likuran nito ang kapangyarihan ni Satanas kasama ang mga kababalaghan. And here in our story, nothing demonstrates more forcefully the power of idolatry than the fiery furnace. So powerful, as I've said, that even those who are tasked to cast the friends themselves died first. Now, should the friends compromise if only to avoid the power of the fire to consume them? Should we? Perhaps not a fiery furnace, but in what way is your faith yielding to a challenge of a popular idolatry or a powerful falsehood? Besides power, Nebuchadnezzar is a popular power builder. I told you that Nebuchadnezzar is the builder of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. So certainly this man has the genius, not only in terms of warfare. In terms of warfare, he was the general who led one of the greatest ancient battles in Carchemish when he defeated the Egyptians. So he's a military genius, he's a power builder, and that must have made him very popular. And surely in the minds of the population, Nebuchadnezzar has earned the adulation. He is asking for his image. Kung popular na siya at nariyan ang kanyang imahin, andiyan ang kanyang estatwa, I'm sure he was thinking, I have earned it. Around me are my projects. And behind me are my victories. So I have earned the adulation of people. So put yourself in the place of the friends. Should the friends take on such popular idolatry and earn enmity against them? And should we challenge popular idolatry today and earn the enmity of people against us? But what happens in the end? What happens is that Nebuchadnezzar, no less, the powerful and popular sponsor of falsehood, yields. Siya ang bumigay sa kahulihan. And let me tell you, history bears out again and again that where there are men and women of faith, falsehood yields in the end. It may take martyrdom for some. It may take sufferings. But where men and women are willing to suffer, even die for their faith, in the end, falsehood will yield. This is what Paul was holding on to in his hostility, or against the hostility of the super apostles in Corinth. If you remember our series, he was faced with people who were in power, popular, yet trafficking in falsehood. And what did Paul hold on to? That's our New Testament text. He believed that no one can do anything against the truth. In the end, truth always wins. Falsehood will yield. Even if it takes suffering, it will yield. I was watching the Senate hearing last Thursday concerning money laundering, and one of the guests, so one of those who was summoned to the hearing, was a bank employee, obviously very nervous, unused in such a setting. And I remember his female lawyer advising him, just tell the truth. truth is now your only defense. And that's where we are at. Nandun tayo. Ang sandata lang natin, ang pananggol lang natin ay ang katotohanan sa harap ng mga kamalian. So I challenge you, let your faith in the truth remain unmoved by any powerful or popular idolatry. Idolatry today is no longer an enormous image of Nebuchadnezzar. The forms of idolatry are more subtle, more sophisticated, but anything that has a controlling effect and followed by many, that is powerful and popular, and it is idolatry. They may be celebrities who offer fame, money, and wealth that it provides, ambition for a position. These are today's idols. Any of these has the power to say, forget your God. He is not the Most High. Consider others higher in their claims because of money, because of popularity. Bow to popular opinions as higher than your Bible. So when you decide what ethical position is right, is banking still right? Bow to the popular studies of psychology rather than to the Bible. Is homosexuality acceptable? Again, bow to current fads rather than your Bible. That's what popular idolatry will tell us. And many professed Christians cannot remain unmoved when challenged by something popular. And you young people may be in the midst of such a dilemma. What is popular? What is powerful? In your class, in the campus, who are considered popular and powerful? Is it a boy who makes girls swoon? Is she the girl who flaunts her flesh and figure? And who do people hang around with? Because of fashion, gadgets, latest downloads? Whoever heard of people naturally hanging around someone because he or she is godly? That's not cool. But young people, that is where your fiery furnace is. That is where you are called upon to remain unmoved as a young Christian and even you adults. And one day, the point is that Nebuchadnezzar will yield. Today is the death anniversary of one of the leading Puritans in Scotland, Samuel Rutherford. He died on March 20, 1661. He was one of the leaders of the so-called Scottish Covenanters. When Scotland determined that the king is going to rule in the church, determined who will be the leaders, the Covenanters banded together, refused to be under the king. And many of them were imprisoned, even martyred. Rutherford was put under house arrest. And when the monarchy was restored, he was targeted for execution, except that at that point, he was already dying of sickness. And what they said was just remove him from the University of St. Andrews, the leading university of Scotland, which he has served for many years, so as an ultimate disgrace to him, he was removed in the hour of his death from the college he loved. But that was a sacrifice he was willing to make in order to stand by his faith. Scotland today is one of the most religious nations in the world in terms of Protestant faith, because of men like Rutherford. So exposing human falsehood is what we expect to happen by the vindication of God, and secondly, exalting divine kingdom. Before the events of chapter 3, you have chapter 2. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, except that he couldn't remember his dream. Nothing serious about that, nothing extraordinary. Marami tayong napapanaginipan pagkagising natin, hindi natin maalala. Ganun ang nangyari kay Nebuchadnezzar. Wala namang kagulat-gulat doon. Except that, ang sabi ni Nebuchadnezzar sa mga salamangkero niya, sa mga paham ng kaharian, sabihin niyo sa akin kung anong napanaginipan ko at pagkatapos ipaunawa niyo. Remind me of my dream, then interpret. And you can do that. Ay pupugutan na sana lahat ng mga salamangkero except that Daniel intervened and then he interpreted the king's dream about an image with four compartments and how it was broken at the foot dimension because of another kingdom. In the interpretation of Daniel in chapter 2, verse 44, he said, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, and nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. So Daniel is talking about another kingdom. And he's saying, it is not your kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar. It will be broken together with the other kingdoms. And now, Nebuchadnezzar is challenging that interpretation by building this image of just one gold-plated image. He is saying, it will just be me. And Daniel has given an interpretation that now the friends are compelled to stand by. And again, that reminds us God's truth is the supreme weapon to promote God's kingdom. Ang katotohanan ng Diyos ang pinakasandatan natin upang itaguyod ang kanyang paghahari. Now that kingdom, from Daniel's perspective, is a prophetic future. It will come after the successive kingdoms in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And what are those kingdoms? First, Babylonian kingdom. It began with Nebuchadnezzar, followed by the Medo-Persian kingdom with Cyrus as king, followed by the Greek Empire with Alexander the Great, and finally the Roman Empire. And during the Roman Empire, Jesus came and established a kingdom that is not like these kingdoms built upon wars. The kingdom that Jesus built in the duration of the Roman Empire began with his cross and resurrection and is now established without end. That's a fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. But put yourself again in the place of the friends. At this point, it has not yet been fulfilled. It is yet in prophecy. While we are here, that kingdom is now in place. Jesus came during the time of the fourth kingdom and then established the everlasting kingdom. There is now a kingdom where Jesus is king. Meron ng kaharian na si Jesus ang hari na nagpapatuloy. Kung hindi mo hari si Jesus, kabilang ka pa rin sa mga kaharian ng mga tao na pawang bubuwagin. Ang tanging kaharian na magpapatuloy ay kung saan si Jesus ang hari. At kung hindi mo pa rin siya hari, maaring nasa ilalim ka ng kaharian ng akademya, kaharian ng kalakalan, kaharian ng kayamanan, lahat ng kaharian na yan, bubuwagin ang tanging kaharian mananatili ay ang kay Jesucristo. At tinatawag kitang magpailalim, magpasakop kay Jesucristo sa pananampalataya. If you have not bowed to His Lordship, you are still clinging to the kingdoms of men. All are going to be destroyed. And for us believers, we have accepted the kingly rule of Christ, already present and expanding, and our weapon, Paul defines it, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. In other words, we have a weapon that is powerful to destroy strongholds which are not in terms of territories and nations, but in terms of thoughts and minds, making them captives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we have Christ with us, we are confident it will earn its victory. During the Second World War, there was a race for the atomic bomb. And as a matter of fact, Germany was way ahead. But America had a secret advantage, Albert Einstein. And that settles it. America won the race. And we know the history of that. The atomic bomb was used against Japan, which forced Japan to surrender. And I do not want to believe that Albert Einstein can give more confidence to a nation at war than Jesus would to a church in spiritual warfare. So I challenge you, let your faith in the truth serve the exaltation of God over idols. Itong ginawa nila Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, pinagtatanggol nila ang propesya ni Daniel na merong kahariang itatayo ang Panginoon na hindi mabubuwag. At ganito naman tayo, nasa punto na tayo na nangyari na, itinayo na ang kaharian, narito na si Jesus bilang hari, at ang gamit natin ay ang katotohanan upang isulong ang kataasan ng Diyos laban sa mga idolo. So at the end of the story, he rolls a reverse. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar is forced to admit there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. He honors them. He said they yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any God except their own God. And would to God that this could be said of us. But they would rather yield their bodies. They would rather be the laughing stock of their peers rather than yield their faith in their God. It's been asked, who was the fourth presence in the furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego did not tell. Nebuchadnezzar said, angel. To me, there is no point in debating. It simply tells us God's faithful servant will have God's company. Sasamahan ng Panginoon ang kanyang lingkod na matapat. Romans chapter 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? So Nebuchadnezzar identifies Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with their God as the Most High. Now I ask you, do people identify us with our Lord Jesus? If for the friends, the issue is Yahweh is the Most High, for us, the issue is that people should see that for us, Jesus is Lord. But do they? Do they hear it from us? And young people, don't you consider it an anomaly if your friends hear from you more about Taylor Swift than about the Lord Jesus? Unbelievers are tirelessly talking about their present idols. You hear them talk about it. They post it on Facebook and Twitter. And they are not ashamed about their idols. Should they not hear from us about our Most High? And that's the Lord Jesus. We need men and women, young Christians, who have faith that will not be moved by their fiery furnace. And what is your fiery furnace? The insults, the laughter, ostracism, whatever it is, I hope there would be a Nebuchadnezzar who will acknowledge he would rather yield his body than serve any other god except their gods. While he was under house arrest, Samuel Rutherford left a collection of letters from prison. And when it was collected, we have it in a full book known as The Letters of Samuel Rutherford, no less than Charles Spurgeon esteemed it as the best reading he has had next to the Bible. That's because he saw there a man suffering, willing to suffer, then give up his faith. And let me tell you that when a man is willing to suffer for his faith, people will listen to that kind of faith. I remember as a student in London Theological Seminary, I have had many lectures in LTS, but the one lecture I will not forget is by a guest lecturer. He was a missionary in Romania during the dictatorial reign of Ceausescu. And during that time he was imprisoned, a general visited his prison cell and told him to recant because he was a well-known name. They believed that if they could make this man recant, then it would serve the administration of the dictator. But this man, Joseph Chon, refused to recant. And this general, he told us, poked a gun on his head and said, "You recant now or I'll shoot." And Joseph Chon said, "General, if you shoot, my writings will speak 10 times louder," because here was a man willing to die for his faith. And the general left the prison cell. The point there is, it takes men and women who have faith, willing to suffer for that faith, to make our witness more powerful, and people will listen. This is what Daniel's friends have done. This is the challenge to us when we have our own challenge of the fiery furnace. What is the fiery furnace that stirs you today? And how firm is your faith in the truth? In our last hymn, which reminds us that no matter what happens, if we are doing the Master's will, then it is something that will be vindicated. The second verse says, "Go labor on, 'tis not for naught. Thy earthly loss is heavenly gain. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. The Master praises. What are men?" Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, aming mabuting Ama, nagpapasalamat kami sa hamon ng salaysay tungkol kay Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego na sa harap ng hamon ng hurunong nagngangalit na apoy ay nanindigan sila sa kanilang pananampalataya. At magkakaroon kami ng gayon ding uri ng mga hamon, hindi na tulad sa isang hurunong, ngunit naroon ang maaring kami pagtawanan, libakin, insultuhin, at may mga bumibigay ng dahil lamang sa maliit na mga bantang ito naway ang hamon ng tatlong magkaibigan na ito ay dumating sa amin ng mabisa at makapangyarihan, matalas. Grant, O Lord, that we may see in what these three friends have undergone in the challenge of the fiery furnace, we will see the same encounter in our own lifetime. And we pray that we may learn from what happened to this story that faith that stands by and fights for God's truth will be vindicated. It will expose human falsehood. And we pray that we may have such faith that is able to stand rather than moved by the pressures and the challenges. Instead, that we may stand by your truth. And grant that we may have a message of the kingdom, which in the time of Daniel was but prophecy, in our time is fulfillment because of the Lord Jesus. And if they stood by their belief that Yahweh was the Most High, help us to stand by our conviction that Jesus is Lord. And in those challenges where popular and powerful idolatry will bear its pressure upon us, help each one, adults, young people, those who are Christians facing the challenge of their peers, that they will stand by the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let our faith in the truth serve the exaltation of our Lord Jesus over idols. So help us to identify those situations in our lives where our faith is being challenged, and may we learn to stand by our faith, and where faith is ready to yield its body rather than serve false gods, we will see it in the we will see the greater power of the truth promoting your kingdom. Make us that church that will have a firm faith in the face of a fiery furnace. Make us men and women who have such faith that will stand firm in the face of our own fiery furnace. And may your name be glorified through this. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.